But first, to talk about what happened in Beirut, I'm joined on the blower by the Guardian's correspondent and a member of our A-team, Martin Shulov. Welcome back, Martin. I understand that you visited the scene.
I have a bit a hectic morning here in South Beirut. Gunfire crackling through a pale autumn sky. Large amounts of debris just outside the Iranian embassy, which is roughly 3 or 4 kilometres north of the international airport here. It's in a stronghold area of the Hezbollah. It's usually very, very heavily guarded. Chaos of debris, of masonry, of oil lining the streets, of cars that have been blown up, from very large craters in the middle of the road, and generally very scared and very angry, all mingling around. The latest death toll from what we
Martin, we're going to try and make contact with you via the mobile. You're crackling like crazy, and I want to hear every word you're telling us. So we're going to just take a breath shortly. As I said, Bruce Shapiro will be with us, and I'm sure he'll... We've got Martin back. Okay. Martin, I'm sorry, but that was almost intolerable. So, the embassy in South Beirut is the stronghold of the Shia Hezbollah party. Someone trying to send a message?
It would appear so. It's very difficult to view anything that takes place in Lebanon in isolation from what's happening in the rest of the region. And it is no secret that Iran and Hezbollah are very heavily backing the regime of Bashar al-Assad in Syria on the other side, on the opposition side. A large majority of Sunni Muslims who have taken it rather personally that the regime is on the front foot, that Lebanon is a staging post for a lot that is going on in that country at the moment. And there have been vows to attack Iranian targets in particular in Lebanon. And today, I guess at first guess, and it's important to stress that we haven't established this as fact yet, but as first guess, it would appear that that this is an extension, a spillover from the war taking place in Syria.
Of course, the knee-jerk response was to blame Israel, wasn't it?
And that's always the case. Both Hezbollah and Iran view Israel as a mortal foe, and there is also the reality that at the moment that Israel isn't at all happy with the negotiations surrounding Iran's nuclear program that are taking place between Tehran, the US, and European states that may lead to an easing of sanctions, which the Israelis, of course, don't see as something that should be done. They think that this will retain Iran's capacity to enrich uranium and therefore to make nuclear weapons which may be used to menace it. But that is, I guess, taking us away from the main game. I think all officials that I've spoken to this morning do believe that what took place in Beirut today is firmly rooted in the conflict to the east.
And Martin, let's walk this back, because the crackling sounded like adjacent gunfire. Just describe the scene that you saw at the bombed embassy.
Yeah, it was a scene of chaos, as you would imagine. There were two very large craters just outside the embassy gates. One of them larger than the other. It does appear that a bomber of some sort attempted to distract the guards. Did detonate an explosion very near the gates. A car bomb then was driven very close and caused extensive damage to the building. There's masonry and debris lying all around the streets. There are angry and agitated people nearby. There are guards shooting in the air into a pale blue autumnal sky. And it's generally a scene of chaos and carnage
Martin,
in an area that is
Martin,
one of the safest in the capital.
Forgive me, but I'm wondering what the death toll and the injuries are.
Well, the latest death toll is 23 killed, including an Iranian diplomat. We believe it to be a cultural attaché that was either arriving at the embassy or leaving, and around 150 wounded. Many of them are in quite critical condition and have been ferried to hospitals all around that part of Beirut, and there are many there that are well used to dealing with trauma injuries of this nature.
Okay, so let's go back to the significance, the symbolism of this, because this is certainly very potent symbolism. And you think the attack in Beirut is connected to a battle going on in Syria at the moment between the rebels and the Syrian army in the Kalamoon Mountains?
Either there or elsewhere in the country, where the regime does appear to be edging forward after more than 2.5 years of grinding stalemate. And one of the reasons that they are on the front foot at the moment is because of the resolute backing of Hezbollah and of Iran. And as I said earlier, this is a conflict in Syria that has clearly taken on a very sectarian tone. The regime and its backers, either directly Shia Islamic or indirectly backed by the Shia sect. The opposition is a very large majority Sunni. This is drawing in the regional powers. It's straight up Saudi Arabia versus Iran in a proxy war, and it's Persians versus Arabs. And this is something that's rumbled along for more than 2.5 years now and shows little sign of slowing down.
Talking to Martin Schiller from The Guardian, LNL on RN, it seems pretty obvious that the Lebanese government didn't provide sufficient security.
Well, this part of the capital is secured by Hezbollah and by the Iranian embassy itself and by the many proxy militias it has. There are government checkpoints not too far away, but the primary security in outside of the embassy is very definitely provided by the Hezbollah. And try as they may, it is very difficult to stop car bombs getting into this part of the city. I mean, that there were two bombs closer to the Hezbollah heartland in July and August, and there's been an extensive network of checkpoints operating right throughout the southern suburbs ever since. It had been partially lifted last week, and what we saw today was clearly something that had broken through that cordon.
So it's certainly bringing the Syrian war home to Lebanon. The response that you're hearing on the Arab street?
There are the usual calls for vengeance, coupled with the usual calls for calm. This is a familiar cacophony that all too tragically does tend to follow these events in Lebanon. I think we will see, and we certainly are seeing in Hezbollah-aligned media, calls to seek retribution on the battlefields in Syria. There isn't anything in terms of a claim of responsibility from any Sunni groups yet, but as the day goes on, I do imagine that we will see claim and counterclaim. We will see threats of retaliation either here or across the border. The Lebanese have said that it's best if any scores are settled on a battlefield rather than here. And I guess the point that I make about that is, despite the antagonism, despite the schism between the sects of Islam, there does seem to be a common interest in what's taking place in Syria not taking root in Lebanon.
Now, we've pointed out that the instant response that it was Israel is nonsensical, but will the Saudis be blamed?
They're usually suspect number two in something such as this, and again, it is very clear that the Saudis are just as angry, if not more so, at the negotiations taking place between Iran, Europe, and the US. There will be some quarters who will blame the Saudis. I've no doubt about that. They are taking a significant stake in the anti-Assad opposition. For the last 9 months in particular, they've been providing significant amounts of weaponry and funding to the opposition. At the same time, Iran has been pouring in weaponry and funding and manpower to the regime. So, yeah, I think that there will be some quarters of Lebanon that will blame the Saudis as well.
Martin, how do you think Hezbollah will respond?
I think in the last few months, Hezbollah have been messaging privately that they don't want to bring it on inside of Lebanon, while they're happy to fight inside of Syria and to make sure that the Assad regime does survive in a way which protects its interests here and Iran's interests as well, then it will do that. But they have messaged to their foes in Lebanon, their political foes, that this isn't a place that they want to bring the battle to unnecessarily. And I think that's generally accepted by both sides of politics here, that neither has an interest in bringing war to Lebanon. However, Hezbollah will likely intensify their activities in Syria, particularly around the Kalamun Mountains, which you mentioned. That's a very strategic area, halfway between Homs and Damascus. So I imagine patience here, caution here, but more of the same in Syria.
Final question, Martin. How will it affect the Lebanese government?
Well, the Lebanese government's been utterly paralysed for the last year or so, mainly because of the regional schism. One half of politics here is directly supported by Iran. The other half is directly supported by Saudi Arabia. Others tinker around the edges, the Americans, the French, the Turks. But the parliament isn't really functioning. It's been in a caretaker period for 9 months or so. There needs to be a presidential election, parliamentary elections as well. They've been delayed, and Lebanon is just muddling on as the region slowly crumbles.
As lucid as ever. Thank you, Martin. Martin Shulov, talking to us from Beirut. Martin is The Guardian's correspondent.